Hello and welcome to Madame Rotterdam. Here you're going to get inspired after listening to interviews with some of the most talented people across many industries within the city of Rotterdam. Tune in every Friday for more inspiration. Happy hearing! Hi everyone, welcome to Madame Rotterdam podcast. My name is Maria Bahamam, and in front of me here is a special friend of mine who I met recently, and I was really inspired by her story. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce you.
Hi everyone, I'm Diana, and I moved to Rotterdam last year to start my master's degree in cognitive neuroscience. So I met Maria and we came up with the idea of starting our own podcast to inspire people, to listen to people's stories, and hoping that those stories can inspire other people. So to begin with, I would like to talk about myself for a bit. I grew up in Taiwan, I'm Taiwanese, and I've been abroad for about 8 years. I moved to America first as an exchange student in high school. And shortly after, I went to America to live with my family. My family was there about a year, but I stayed longer. So I graduated from an American high school. I went to college, but I didn't really like it. However, from there, I tried out different classes and I was exploring my interest in studying and everything. Afterwards, I decided to study in London because I prefer the education system in England better, which I chose to study psychology for my bachelor's degree. Afterwards, I decided that I would pursue science further in neuroscience. Therefore, I'm studying cognitive neuroscience.
Wow, that's interesting. You have really been traveling for a bit. Well, let me ask you this question. Why did you choose a scientific field? I mean, not a lot of people will go for science.
This is a very funny story. My dad is, I would say, a fan of science. He's an atheist and he is very fond of science. So growing up, I was exposed into materials of sciences. For example, he booked us children's books in science, magazines, or, you know, watching channels of sciences. And when I was a kid, I actually didn't like it because I felt like I was forced to like science, but as a kid, you would be more imaginary, so I prefer stories. However, throughout my journey in America, I actually discovered that I was interested in psychology, and my interest stems from my personal story of my own struggles and wanting to understand people's behaviors. So I started with psychology, and from there, I had a class called biological psychology, and that's when I discovered that my fascination for the brain and the anatomy of brain was really overwhelming. Therefore, I decided to pursue pursue that kind of career path in science.
You are probably hearing the whistling. It's raining right now, and that whistling is the wind going through the window, so bear with us. So why come to the Netherlands after the UK, and why Rotterdam precisely?
Actually, I chose Rotterdam because I didn't want to be in Amsterdam. Amsterdam is very touristy. Especially like near the center, the area. It's not really like a really big city either. And I thought if I wanted to study, I should focus on a city where it's nice enough for a city, but it's not super touristy. And Rotterdam is perfect, as in terms of the description I just described.
I completely agree with you. Rotterdam is not as touristy as Amsterdam. Talking about Rotterdam, what do you like to do when you're out and about in the city of Rotterdam?
Well, I would describe myself as a nerd, and I've had this, activity set up for myself and my friends since my days in London. I would actively seek talks, doesn't matter in which field, but mostly like scientific or sometimes in psychology, sometimes philosophy, sometimes anything like in business. And I would invite my friends and we go to talks. So when I first moved to Rotterdam, I was concerned that maybe the resources here isn't as, for example, eventful as London, because in London, for example, University College London, UCL, they would host lots of talks for a really cheap price or, you know, sometimes just free. So I was a bit worried about that, but my worrisome was wrong. And my university, Erasmus University Rotterdam, actually organizes a lot of academic events or talks or like just fun and chill stuff. So to answer the question is, I like to go to events with my friends and mostly concentrated on talks because I love ideas. I like talking about ideas with people. I like sharing my ideas with a diverse group. So not just people that's interested in science, but also coming from business background or maybe philosophy or maybe arts.
Awesome. Well, since you are one of the hosts of this podcast, besides Omar and me, what really inspires you?
Yeah, that's the concentration of why me and Maria and Omar, another guy, why we're doing this podcast, because we want to inspire people. Personally, I'm always very active to seek growth. So personal growth usually doesn't matter like what you achieve career-wise or academic-wise. Growth is usually what you find within yourself. Sometimes you lack certain qualities, but you're not aware of it. So I have been quite obsessed about growing since I was in my teenage years, because in your teenage years, you have all these confusions on who you are and why you're doing what you're doing. So when I was about 18, I started being very confused. And later on, I was basically hooked up with all these YouTube videos of like self-help and everything. Consequently, I also met people who was very into the ideas of self-help, but later realized that self-help, of course, the idea of self-help is helping yourself, and it differs between individuals. So for me, it's finding who I am to inspire others, because that's really important. And everyone has their own story. It doesn't matter your background. Something that happens or occurs in your life, someone you have met, that inspire you to do something, to go forward. And I think that's very important. So because of my own stories and that inspired me, the people I meet in my life, the events I go, the experiences I have, so that inspired me to go further. And therefore, I also want to inspire others knowing their stories.
Yeah, absolutely. I always get inspired when I listen to people talk about their lives and the challenges and the obstacles that they face and how do they overcome them, their background. All of these add something and add a value to my life. I really get inspired by them. Some stories deeply resonate with me and some stories I really relate to somehow. And I do believe that we all have something in common. Okay, cool. So let's talk about your work. I remember you told me that you work for MC, the hospital. Can you maybe talk more about that? What do you do? And what's you're working on right now?
I'm currently working at Erasmus Medical Center. I'm there working. I'm like a research intern, basically. And my job there is to data clean and going to meetings that involves on the project Generation R, which is going to be what my thesis is going to be based on. Generation R is a cohort study that involves, I would say, approximately around 9,000 children. And these children were collected solely based in Rotterdam. And that's what makes this study very interesting, because it's like a Rotterdam study. And my study, my current thesis is focusing on brain morphology in predicting risk-taking behavior in adolescents, drinking behavior, and emotional and problem behaviors in adolescents. So it's a really great opportunity, because it's the first time I ever have to deal with such a large data set of a healthy clinical population that consists about, I think within my data set, about 3,000 to 4,000 individuals. And it's a huge opportunity in terms of data analysis, learning data analysis, also practicing, for example, R coding, and even, for example, vertex-wise analysis that's specifically used for brain morphology. And these opportunities only come by because I'm able to work at Erasmus Medical Center, and I have been also very inspired and wanting to continue more research in neuroscience because there's so much I still don't know yet.
That's really impressive. Okay, so what does the future look like for Diana?
Well, I still want to be a scientist, which is good. My current plan is I would love to become a research assistant, which I have already landed a job as a research assistant in Taipei, Taiwan. And my job contract will be a year, during which time I will learn more about neuroimaging tools and data analysis, coding, all these other things. And I think it will help me a lot. Specifically, I think it's important to start finding my own research interest. And I think this is the baby step for every future scientist. You have to find your own research interest, because without that, there's no point of even trying to do like a PhD or any further education. And it's also important to realize that earlier on, which I guess I could have worked on that before I started my master's degree. Because when you decide that you want to further your education, it's really important to understand why you want to do it, what specific areas of this field interest you. So I don't think I had enough in terms of after I finished my bachelor's degree. So I just thought, I was interested in cognitive neuroscience. But even within the field of cognitive neuroscience, there's a lot of the variety of topics that people, explored. So I didn't do that, which was a shame. But because of my school program, I got to really explore other more topics, and also my current thesis project at Erasmus MC has given me more insights of, I really like neuroscience. I like the neuroimaging tools used, structural and functional MRI. But the next step is, I know I like this, but in which area I'm interested in. So far I was thinking about Alzheimer's disease, which is quite important because in our current population, that aging culture is becoming more, it's increasing people that are elders, numbers of elders are increasing. So I think it's really, really important to explore that side, which is actually funny because the cohort study Generation R that I'm working on right now is the complete opposite. It's exploring prenatal influences. For example, if mother consumed alcohol, what kind of long-term influence it has on baby's brain morphology, for example. So this is, a lot of papers were written based on prenatal characteristics or things that's been consumed or even antidepressant, so which is really interesting. But I think my interest lies upon Alzheimer's, and another reason for that is because my grandpa, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And my mother was really frustrated because he couldn't figure out why he has it. And with these things, sometimes you don't know the reason because the scientists are still really exploring it. You cannot really contribute a person having Parkinson's disease to just genetic influence, because it's not in my family history from my mother's line that people had Parkinson's disease.
That's really interesting. My question for you is, do you think that genetic influence can be handed down to the generation to come? For example, if a father or a grandfather is diagnosed with diabetes, that it will be transferred to the children and grandchildren and so on?
I think the good news is nowadays with, you know, advanced medical technology and genetic studies, we can even predict what's going to happen, the diseases that can be prevented or can be passed on through generations. So I think there are diseases or genetic diseases that can be prevented now because so many research has been done to try to predict what are the causes and if it can be changed. But obviously, if there is something running in a family, it's inevitable. I do believe that a lot of times it also has to, the contributions of that has to do with the environment, the food you eat or, you know, where you grow and things like that. For example, a documentary I watched, this guy was worried that because his family has a history of, for example, high blood pressure and things like that. And he started changing his diet. He's still young, of course, we cannot tell what's going to happen in the long run, but he's really trying hard to prevent these horrible things happening to him, just like his family members, by doing it well, things that he can control, things you eat or whether you should drink a lot.
I think I know that documentary. Is it called What the Health?
Yeah. I think it has to do, a lot of things has to do with the food that we eat. We can, of course, say like, yeah, genetic influence and that's why I am this or that. But there are still things that we can control. However, there are things that we cannot control. For example, if I have autism, I cannot just, eat something and not be autistic. So, yeah, so I would say genetic influence, whether it will influence our next generation, that also depends on the medical facility that people have now, or you know, whether the future generation will focus more on the food intake, things like that, activities that people should do. I believe that it will have a different kind of trend. For example, smartphones been invented, and social media, computer and everything. So in my course, for example, studies have found that highly, if you spend a lot of time using your phone on social media and stuff, it's linked to depression and anxiety. So these are the new things that's gonna happen to the newer generation because they are, they call it the Generation X. Well, Gen X, there's a lot of YouTube videos on Gen X. And what might they do for the society because they are different, and what might they've been exposed in because they're born in these technologies and social media and everything.
Can you perhaps maybe give an example of a disease that appeared in the Generation X time and it didn't exist in the generations before that?
This is the difficult bit because Generation X, if I remember correctly, is after 1997 or 8, which is actually not far from the millennial. And so, for example, my brothers, they were born in 1997 or 8. Actually, I don't remember. Wow, shame on me. Even though when they were born, I'm like 6 years older. So yeah, when they were born, when they were babies, obviously they don't remember. They actually were exposed to computer use younger. But I wouldn't say exactly so because I started using computers when I was about 8 or 9, quite a young age. It's biased because my dad's a computer engineer. So we really got to use these resources. So I wouldn't say my brothers, because they're like quite the end of millennial, I wouldn't say they're exactly that different. And imagine all these people born between, for example, 1997 to maybe even early 2000s. I don't know exactly if it's a huge change, but if we're talking about, for example, I was born in 2010 and growing up till like 18, then that I would think that it will make a difference. I think so far it's a bit too early to tell what is really the difference between Gen X and millennials because we're not given really enough time to look at the difference yet. Children for example who are born after 2010, they're still young. So I think it's difficult to conclude anything right now.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. However, you can already predict what the struggles of Generation X will be like. Looking back, for example, before social media or cell phone were invented, people thought and behaved differently. So I think what's going on right now is going to affect Generation X and the millennials and baby boomers even. I think everybody's life is going to be affected by this.
Yeah, I think this is why us millennials, well, they say that we have more struggles, but at the same time, I don't think we should look at it so pessimistically, because that also means there's a direction in the future that's just for us to develop, because all these trends of social media or even like high tech or, you know, the culture of startups, for example. Yeah, these are like having your own business, the idea of having your own business yourself and all these things. It's so different from maybe, for example, 10, 20 years ago, when people are still very in their traditional thinking that, oh, if I want to own a company, I need to, obviously you need money, which is, we still do that. But also like maybe we need certain size because, you know, like five people, one each has their own duty and things like that. But it doesn't really work like that anymore. Nowadays, like you see startups with people, I think maximum the people I see is like 3 to 4 people. I don't think it's about the size of the company anymore. It's about executing the ideas.
Yeah, that's really interesting to see how the company structure and how the company culture from before has radically changed nowadays. And you can already see that big companies are getting into the startup scene. You are seeing them running their own programs or going to small startups and investing in them and so on. So you can safely say that the startup scene has disrupted how people look at work and finding a job and to look at the future, really.
So that's also importantly to mention. For our podcast, we would like to speak to people with their own startups and to get their stories and ideas why they started this startup. And I just want to give notice to our audiences. So that's what they're going to expect.
Okay, awesome. So we are already at the end of this podcast. And any last thing you want to say or share in terms of the guests for this podcast and who do you like to really bring in?
I think it will be very interesting to invite students or people that's about to go in industry. It's important to know what they're going to do next. And because it's the period of time where you're figuring out, oh, what is my next step to my career? And not everyone is very proactive, and not everyone's down for careful planning right before your career, because sometimes you're still figuring out what you're going to do. So I think it would be interesting to invite maybe a few master's students or maybe even undergraduate students to see what's the undergraduate culture right now.
Awesome, and I cannot wait. Well, thank you for being here. It's an honor to know you and to talk to you. And thanks a lot for doing this podcast. And any last thoughts to say? Anything you want to say?
No, I'm actually very excited to start this and to begin interviewing people to get their ideas and to get them tell everybody their stories so people get inspired and to perhaps take some ideas from these people that we will be interviewing. So nice meeting you all.
Thanks for being here. And that's it, folks. Tune in next Friday for more. Bye for now.
Bye.